Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 8th, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Secretary, please call the roll.
Ms. Bona.
Here.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Here.
Ms. Lapode.
Here.
Ms. Malkin.
Here.
Mr. Ticktin.
Here.
Mayor Ellentuck.
Here. We move to, this is actually the mayor's report. Just two quick things. Ask the engineers to go back and determine what the additional cost would be to build facilities across 571 and north. The study, which is available to anybody who wants one, basically boosts the price to about $975,000, resulting in a bond of $1,240,000. In view of the fact that we have a somewhat historic debate tonight, I originally thought this was going to end, the debates were at 8, but apparently they're at 9. So I'm going to suggest, if we can, that we try to get this thing over by 8:30. We have at least one person who's 35 to 40 minutes away from home. Let him get back and see the show. Okay, would somebody like to make a motion? I'm sorry. Do we have any public comment on the consent agenda? There being none, would somebody like to move the consent agenda?
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
Would you please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Impelazzari.
Aye.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Ticktin.
Aye.
We now move to ordinances. Would somebody like to introduce the first reading and introduction of 2016-019? I think that should be 16-019, right?
Yes.
16-019. Move the introduction of Ordinance 2016-019, bond ordinance providing for design and construction of a new borough emergency services building, appropriating $600,000 therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $579,400 bonds and notes to finance a portion of the cost thereof. Authorizing by the Borough of Roosevelt, the County of Monmouth.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mayor, can I make a correction before we go on to this? I forgot to mention it a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
On Resolution 2016-93, near the end of the page, it says the Mayor and Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Mercer.
Thanks.
We know it should be Monmouth.
I'm sorry.
I know what you were thinking, Deb.
16-93, which is the
okay.
Irish one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any discussion at the table about 16-019?
What's it doing on here?
What's it doing on here?
Yeah, how did this end up on the agenda tonight?
It was described in excruciating detail at the last meeting. We were advised that it was going to be introduced and the purposes for which it was going to be introduced. It is now introduced for a first reading.
Again, after last December.
What? I'm sorry.
You're talking about dash 019?
I am.
So this was voted on last December, and there's supposed to be a ballot question this November.
That is correct.
So why is this appearing on the agenda tonight?
For the same reason previously discussed. That is that because of the timing of the process, in order for this bond process to be complete and in order to start construction in accordance with the direction of the voters, we have to introduce the bond now, subject to the voters determining which facility we're building.
So how is it that from last year to this year, now One of the possibilities is a two-bay building, but the price of the bond is exactly the same.
Because you issue the bond for the maximum amount that you are going to spend. If you spend less, you draw less, and the remainder of the bond is unissued.
I just find it curious that it's the identical amount.
Why would it change?
Because if the vote goes that we contract to Millstone for our fire and a two-bay building is built, that's significantly smaller than what was discussed last year.
So you would draw down $391,000, build the smaller bay, the smaller building, and then the rest of the bond would simply go away. Further discussion at the table.
In your statement, you mentioned that Roberts Engineering had prepared a report such that if the abandoned gas station and vacant land across the 571 were to be used for either the four-bay or the two-bay, here are the costs. I just want to make sure that I understand it properly, since that option is not one of the voting options that's on the ballot in November. The bond would not cover that as an option. So this one...
The bond would have to be amended.
The bond could be amended such that this could be done, but currently it would not cover the costs because the costs are higher than what's in the bond.
That is correct. So if we couldn't build it where the current facilities are now and we had to move across the street, we would have to amend the bond ordinance to cover the additional costs.
Okay.
So if we have to move it across the street, that would negate any ratable going in there?
No, we could build it on the North 40, which is what the engineer suggested. Sorry, the North 40 being that property north of the gas station.
Block 2, lot 4.03.
Actually, I'm nodding my head. I have no idea whether it's...
That's what
goes for. Okay. Thank you. Further discussion? Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Impelizzeri?
Aye.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Chicton?
Aye.
Yes. We now move to reports. Okay. Oh, we dropped something here.
What?
Reports of committees.
This put it into one.
No.
That's not what you wanted.
No.
Okay,
no,
we thought it was.
No problem. We'll just separate this out.
Okay. And we'll separate it on future agendas.
The discussion was that rather than interrupt the reports of the committees to hear from our officials, that we set up a separate time immediately after the committee reports where the officials can give a report if need be.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you want Mr. McGrath to give a report, there's another section in here for him to give that report. Okay. Mr. Impelizzeri.
We have a proposal for two trees on Homestead Lane that are on borough property. One tree is $700. It's dying. And the other tree is $1,000. But it's a difficult tree to take down, and it's close to someone's home. Secondly, the County Shade Commission is working along 571, but they're doing it in intervals for reasons that the county can explain better than I can. But they are working, and they're going to continue to work and just be patient. And lastly, the cemetery road needs some 3/4-inch rock. The road is washing away badly. We're going to look at what the cost is to get, how much rock we need, and what the cost would be to pick up.
John, how urgent? I understand the trees are urgent. How urgent is the gravel?
I don't think it's gotten that bad that fast. It's been bad for a while, especially in a couple of spots. But they have not gotten dramatically worse recently.
Because our public works budget is down to, I think, $8,000, give or take.
Yeah, not knowing what the total cost of the rock would be or how much we need, I would put it on a low priority.
I'm worried about snow and ice. That's all I could say. Thank you. Mr. Ticker.
Thank you. So we had a notice, a letter from Roberts Engineering about transportation alternatives and a bicycle path between Farm Lane and Oscar Drive. My impression is that probably this is not something we need to do. I'm not sure whether it's exactly what the problem is that it's intended to solve, but they're pointing out that the county has said they're not going to narrow the roadway, or so they're not going to knock down trees, and that saying have it somewhere off the road connecting with bike paths. I'm not sure what bike paths I think they would connect with. So unless somebody else has some ideas to why this would be a good idea.
Well, didn't we have a discussion about having bikes routed down Oscar, then across and to come out on Spruce, which bypasses some of the
right,
curves?
That's a bypass, yes, but she's talking about having something on Rushdale Avenue to have a bypass. Yeah, we'd have a bike path going down Valley Road or something of that sort.
But is there any reason we couldn't use a grant to do that work?
We could ask her to look into that then.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do that then.
The county had asked us some time ago. The county's doing a resurfacing of the roads. Now, I think the second week in October, but they keep changing their minds. They had asked us originally if we wanted to expand the highway 571 to include bike paths on either side. But they gave us a deadline, which was then 5 days away, which meant that the council would not get to consider it, so we said no. Apparently, they kept it open when we went to the pre-construction meeting. They said, so, did you decide what you want about the bike paths? Again, since the construction was supposed to start shortly and the engineers had signed off, the council would not have had the opportunity to consider it, so we said no. Understanding that if they had done that, what they were basically going to do was wipe out the trees on both sides of 571 to expand it by another 6 feet, I think. In view of that, and since we may enter into some kind of moratorium on construction along 571, the chances are pretty good that we would never get to be able to use that money, even if we wanted to, on 571. But if we can do the bypass, that would make it a little safer.
I think we should ask her to do that, right? You know, point out that the widening of that, one of the reasons for having the town declared a historic district in the first place, which was done in the 1980s, was they were afraid of the county coming in and wanting to widen 571 and knock down the trees. So, you know, something consistent to try to.
Okay, so are you going to talk to Carmela, or you want me to give her a call?
You can call, yeah, you can contact her. I'll contact her.
Me? You? I don't care. Just
I don't care. Let's go, so we'll see. What's contact? No, I can contact her. You can, Debbie, whoever wants to contact her. Then just to notice those, when you've driven at night, I hope you notice that the light at the corner of Norco Road is there. And I hope everyone feels that does provide some improvement to the safety of that intersection. You know, it's quite visible coming up the hill toward right, and it's visible all the way to Oscar Drive. So I think it's sort of a beacon that's useful for interest in the community. Okay, that's all.
Thank you. Ms. Bunn.
Okay, as you may recall, the council did approve the borough partnering with the NJ Audubon Society to access certain federal and state funds. Unfortunately, the New Jersey Audubon Society lost some employees, some foresters, which meant they had to kind of back burner us for a while. So in the interim, the Environmental Commission is actively seeking other foresters that we can partner into and at least get some of these projects going to at least access some of the money. The Environmental Commission had done some research, found FAR, F-A-R-R, Forestry, and they would like approval from the council to get a bid from them to see what they can do for us and how much it would cost.
The Environmental Commission?
Yes.
I don't think they need any action by the council to do that.
Okay. Oh, and once the contract is submitted from FAR Forestry, that the borough attorney approve it, review it for approval.
I'm sorry, I was rudely asking him a question to make sure I was correct in what I had just said, and I did not catch that last one.
They have their own budget.
Yes.
Okay, and your question was, and I apologize.
Potentially a contract, I believe, the borough would have.
That's right.
Yes.
But they can get a quote.
They can get the quotes.
Yeah, the Environmental Commission's advisory.
Quotes. How much are we talking about? Do you know what Audubon was?
Probably above the $3,000 grant that they received for.
But we're not talking about above 21.5.
I think Gaetan was saying something like 3,200.
Yeah.
I think it was saying only a couple $100 above the grant. We're talking a fairly small amount of money above the grant.
And the Environmental Commission is asking for a resolution authorizing signs on the Woodland Trail that say no motorized vehicles. They feel this is especially important since ATVs have been cited by commission members on the trail. They're fairly inexpensive. The Environmental Commission is not asking for money because they still have grant money left over from the trail project that they could use to purchase these no motorized vehicle signs and then place them along the trail.
Would you like to make?
And the ordinance already provides where ATVs can be used, which does not include on the trails. So there's a basis for
right, and that. But I think we have to do it. We have to have a resolution because it's our property.
Right.
So would you like to make that resolution?
Yes.
I'd like to make that motion.
So you moved.
You know, Michael, that's you use the key word there, enforcing.
That's
it's
for sure.
It's almost impossible to enforce
it. I know. That's always the difficulty with them. You know, that's always the difficulty.
Right.
But at least people won't be able to say they didn't know.
If we don't put people on notice, it's more difficult to enforce it. If you're putting people on notice, then you can at least call the state police in the event you catch them. And
we have a motion. Do we have a second? And then we can discuss.
I'll second it.
Okay. Now feel free to discuss. Sorry.
No, the question was that
no, I mean that's yeah, we have it's
quite
almost
true.
Impossible
always,
to enforce.
Always a problem, yes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, at least they can't use it as an excuse that they weren't aware of it. But it's just impossible to enforce that.
All the trails are state property.
No, trails are either some of them are state property, some of them are borough property.
Well, the state.
We just want to put
the state
signs on borough.
State already has motorized vehicle warnings in several places, warning that the first offense is a $1,000 fine for a unauthorized motor vehicle. On particular, you know, like wildlife management areas, so they may be able to provide some signs for at least their portion of the trails.
So I think the motion is just to allow it to be put on borough property, which is what we have to approve. But I think it also helps because one of the issues you always get into is the state police stop somebody, and there's that whole issue of whether or not it's actually illegal or not illegal in accordance with our ordinances. So putting up the signs and possibly putting up the ordinance number and the state number could also help. Okay, I don't think we need a formal roll. All in favor of the
for a resolution, you do.
Did we offer a resolution?
Yeah.
Go for it.
This is going to be Resolution 16-95, authorizing signs for the Woodland Trail to be installed by the Environmental Commission. Stacy Bona.
Aye.
John Impelazzeri.
Aye.
Ms. Lapudi?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Thank you.
And does our clerk have any? Oh, I'm sorry.
And the last question is, do we know when the next branch pickup will be?
No. We don't know if we'll have enough money for a branch pickup this year. Because as the mayor said before, we don't know how much snow we're going to get, and the budget's already pretty stretched. So at this point, we don't have any plans for it.
Anything else? That's it for me tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Does our clerk have anything she'd like to report?
No. Thank you, Mayor.
How's your knee?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Counselor?
I have nothing tonight, Mayor.
Ms. Malkin?
Okay. Well, I've had a number of residents call and ask when next Big Trash Day is. Do we have a date?
It should be coming up in the end of October.
End of October?
They're still working on the date.
Okay.
It should be the end of October.
Okay.
I think it'll be the 24th.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, as we know, that there's been our auditor basically gave us a fairly excellent review. So, as usual, Dharma should be proud of that. And from recreation, there was a concert, I think it was about 2 weeks ago on Saturday night at the Memorial, which was a resounding success. It was very short notice. They had two different bands play, free pizza for everyone, and it drew about 60 people. And actually, it was a pretty good mix of ages. So they're thinking that we're thinking that we're going to try to do this a few times a year. I think the end of September was, or middle of September was a good time because everyone's back from vacation. So we're thinking maybe May or June, and also trying one inside in the gym in the middle of the winter, because as we all know, there's not a lot to do in town, especially in the evening, and people really seem to enjoy this. So we're working on another concert. And that's it. Finance work. Come up later at some point when we discuss the EMS.
ESB?
That's all.
The building? Okay. Thank you.
Do you know how much it costs for that the music event?
You know, I think, I'm not sure, so don't call me. I think it was about $500 altogether.
I kind of went through, and it's $400 for one band, $300 for another. And decorations and pizza, so it's a little bit more than that, more like 900. So I'm just wondering how that would impact the budget of, say, the other things that we do with recreation money. Is there any impact there?
Well, no, it was all run by our CFO, and he wouldn't have permitted it or permitted that much money if it was going to impact the other events that we have and other, you know, activities.
But your projection for doing additional ones, that's not going to do away with anything like the summer camp, which I know is very popular.
No, of course not. No.
So, a couple of water and sewer things. We went to the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust for a meeting with the trust members and the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection. In about October of last year, it had come up at this meeting that we needed to submit applications to NJEIT for projects because they had a deadline in October. So we submitted application for three projects, even though we weren't entirely sure they were the right projects for the town. Since that time, a couple of things have changed. First of all, we have changed our engineer, and we're now working with R3M for the water and sewer. Carmela Roberts is still the engineer for everything else. NJEIT has changed their procedures, and they no longer require these deadline things. So we're free to submit projects when we actually have a project. In return, NJEIT would like to have whole projects, not piecemeal. And they'd like to know what the town is contemplating doing, giving us early and substantive input, so that they have an idea of where they would be possibly loaning their money. So this was a meeting that did not discuss any particular, you know, this is the plan. It discussed how we're thinking about dealing with our water and sewer system. The water plant has been redone and is working well. So what's left are the water and sewer pipes underground and the sewage treatment plant. There are a couple of options for the sewage treatment plant. We could fix the current sewage treatment plant. We do make our permit limits, but it is tenuous. And with some improvements at the sewer plant, maybe we would be less reactionary, fixing things when the shaft breaks in the clarifier, and more proactive, painting and rehabilitating these large tanks. But before you kind of spend a lot of money on the sewage treatment plant, you want to make sure that, that you look at all the alternatives. And one alternative is to install a big pump station at the sewage treatment plant and pipes and bring your sewage to another sewage treatment plant in the area. Now, previously we've talked about this, and it's pretty expensive. But fixing the sewage treatment plant is pretty expensive. So one of the things that we'd like to do is go forward with kind of scoping those kinds of projects and being sure that we have a better idea of how much each would cost. What was interesting is when we talked about the rolling applications that are available from NJEIT, the fact that you don't need to have the whole project put together, they said, you know, it's possible that you could do some things like find it, fix it, construction activity that would be useful for the town regardless of whether you take the sewage and send it somewhere or treat it on site. And the reason this came up is because we have a lot of inflow and infiltration. A lot of rainwater flows into our sewer pipes and goes to the sewage treatment plant. In effect, we're treating rainwater. And so under this find it, fix it kind of proposal, something like when we suddenly knew that the Route 571 was going to be repaved, and we said, uh-oh, we think there's some leaks under there. We better get that done real quick because they're going to come in and pave, and we don't want to have it all paved and then dig it up again and then repave it. Something like that might be able to be financed by EIT. So I felt that we left the meeting with some ideas for what kinds of projects they could fund. They left the meeting knowing that Roosevelt was being responsive and responsible about our sewage treatment plant and about the pipes that lead to it. And they even said that rural development has some grant funding, and they suggested that we get in contact with Christine Schmelzel and have her come out and see if, in fact, there would be any portion of this work that would be fundable through a partial grant. They said that they have an agreement with the USDA now where they don't both have to have an environmental review of any particular project. They can each accept the others. So if it were funded by two different entities, there wouldn't be duplicate work by the federal government and the state government. So I felt it was a very positive meeting. Even though we didn't come away with a check in our hands, we did come away knowing that, in fact, there is money from our previous work at the water plant and the emergency work on the water system, and that we just needed to submit certain documentation, and we could leave with a check for $100,000 for work already done, but it would at least be reimbursement to the coffers. So that was the positive aspect of that meeting. Of course, there's always the problems which occur all the time with our sewage treatment plant. We have a leaking standpipe at the sewage treatment plant, which we need to fix. We have still need to deal with the valve, which is underneath the water tower in that valve vault. And, you know, there are ongoing problems all the time.
So when you say it's expensive to go to another town, what kind of money are you talking about?
Well, previously when we looked at it, we said 5 miles at $1 million a mile, 5 million.
That's expensive.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we may not be able to get that close. Did we?
Do we know if anyone else wants our sewage?
Well, we'd pay them for taking our sewage, so that is one of the questions. East Windsor may want their capacity for development in East Windsor, in which case they wouldn't want our sewage. Monroe may be perfectly happy to take our sewage. So some of the whole exploration of that as an option means you have to talk about this to other utilities. There are also complicating factors in that currently, because our sewage goes to the Assinpink, which goes to the Delaware River, if we sent it to Monroe, it would go to the Raritan River. That's an interbasin transfer, a whole different watershed, and because of that, there are permitting issues involved. So that's the kind of exploration that our engineering firm would do for us and would give us some numbers so that you could make an informed decision instead of just, you know, talk about the items that you might have to deal with. They could provide us with some clarity.
And also, isn't it, it's true that most of the water companies that are interested in Roosevelt don't want the sewage?
No, they would buy both water and sewer. And selling it is not precluded with either of these options, either, you know, sending our sewage someplace or treating it here. But we would have a much better idea of what our system is worth so that we wouldn't be selling it for less than it's worth. Because once you've done all of this work, you really know kind of what you've got here. But, you know, selling the utilities would be something that would go on a ballot question. And we've got ballot things already on for this November. Let's take a year. Let's figure it out. Let's get some facts and figures. Maybe next November, that's a question.
Part of the reason for the meeting at the EIT was to talk about a couple of additional things that are related to this. One is to talk about whether or not they would fund our researching our INI or infiltration, which they will do. That was the
find it, fix it.
And if we do that, what that's going to do is it's going to allow us to figure out how much sewage we actually treat. Because right now the amount of water and products going through our sewage system is way out of whack, because every time it rains or there's a lot of high water table, it all comes into our pipes because they're all cracked. So in the process, and in order to do anything with our sewer facility, we have to fix the delivery system. We have to fix the pipes. So whether you want to pump it somewhere, whether you want to sell the facility, whether you want to rebuild the facility, you still have to figure out how to get everything to that point. just so that we're clear, that whole issue is just in the beginning part. And so part of that discussion was also, okay, how do we pay the engineers to do the studies? Because they have to do the studies and say, this is how much it would cost to pump it somewhere. This is how much it would cost to rebuild. This is how much it would cost, you know, the benefits of selling to a private entity. And last, we're still in discussions, and we're setting up a meeting with the BPU to talk about the fact that the way, I've said this before, when a corporation, private corporation, comes in to buy a water facility, they have to average their rates across all of their rate holders. That means that if they have a facility up in Elizabeth and they're paying $5 and we're paying $10, they'd have to average it out to about $7.50. Not true with sewage. And so, at least in my mind, there's no logical reason for that other than they don't feel like it. So I've met with some of our legislators, and they are setting up a meeting. I'm planning on going. Dr. Lapode is going, and the legislators are going to see if we can push the BPU to apply the same rules, at which point the possibility of selling our facilities becomes a little more attractive. Not necessarily more attractive than the other options, but at least we know what the numbers are. Mm-hmm. And I did want to ask, did we move forward to recover that $100,000 that they've been holding?
I followed up with our CFO, and he said he's aware of it, and he's working on getting the papers put in so that we can get that $100,000.
Okay. 100 here, 100 there.
Well, it seems important right now to get everything we can that's owed us. There's one other thing that I forgot to mention. We are going to interview one more candidate for the part-time helper at the water and sewer plant. We have a resume from Ali Abdel Rahman, and we'll interview him on Wednesday.
And we are looking at one more, I guess this is more of a administration committee, but we are looking at getting a part-time person, just a general person, to help out our public works slash deputy clerk slash et cetera. We actually sat down in a meeting and wrote down everything that we could think of that she does, and realized that she's substantially overwhelmed. So we will be coming back to try to handle that. I don't see anything under old business. Does anybody have anything under old business? No. New business, I see the Monmouth County Comprehensive Farmland Plan Target Farm List Update, which I have read, but I have no idea who put this on and why.
Well, I added it only because they are asking for comments by a specific date. So I needed to know if council has any comments that need to be submitted.
The only
we reviewed it last year, too, and they found it to be okay, and we didn't submit anything.
The only question I had was they're talking about, I think, the gold form north of Mirco.
Last year.
Right. That's preserved farm. It's already preserved.
Which is the one that they're looking at taking over? There was another one, I believe, that they were going to... they were looking to acquire.
There's nothing on the list here for Roseville.
Yeah, there is. On page 111, on the top of the page, it says County Target Farms, Block 1, Lot 10, Roosevelt,
Wong.
The owner's Wong.
Okay. That property, is that part of the property that we designated for schools and dormitories? Then we need to have a discussion before we approve this.
Okay.
Because we may want to comment to them that we don't want them to acquire that land. But I think we need to talk to our council and maybe to Michelle Donato.
Okay.
Because that would basically wipe out that zone, right? So the next time we have the same issue. One of the ways that we solved we dealt with the litigation was to designate part of the property as an area for development by schools and dormitories.
Well, the zoning ordinance was amended for the entire RI 400 zone to permit those.
But there was only one.
There was only one property that might have owned that.
Well,
bingo.
Okay.
That's the largest. There are three properties in that zone that are unpreserved farms, but that's
the
largest of
them.
No, I'm talking about Wong.
A 9-acre property, 8-acre property, a 10-acre property, and then, 29 acres of the Wong property.
I don't want to put us in the position where
right,
we go through the same thing again and have no adequate defense. So we should put that on for tomorrow. Have a chat about it.
Sure.
Okay. Any other new business? Oh, I'm sorry. We missed because I got separated out. Did you want a report from Mr. McGrath?
Yes.
Did you want one from Sharon?
Want to give a report?
You don't have to. Usually somebody asks you in the middle of the report, and we've just sort of separated this out to make it easier. Mr. McGrath?
No, we need it. Yeah.
Unless you want to make these... were staff people crazy?
Okay. I listened to the planning board tape, so I get it. Several of the matters we have in court are coming up to be done. The Airbnb will be November 1st. I think that's resolving itself. The owner's contract with Airbnb has expired and has not been renewed. There's still no certificate of occupancy on the property either, and the work hasn't been done to allow one, so no one's living there. So I think that is resolving itself, and I think we may have that wrapped up on the 1st. The other individual properties, summons are issued. We've had court dates. The court has issued time frames in which those properties must be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. Some partial fines have already been paid with the threat of completion of substantial fines and possible jail time. For non-compliance. We have one property owner they're looking for. There's a warrant out. Didn't show for court, so we'll eventually get to that property. We have a couple of properties where there are people with no COs. We're addressing that. you may even have already gotten a call about the one, but we're following the ordinances as I was tasked to do. And it's not always easy. People are saying, well, no one's ever done that before, and that's the difficult part of it. Mm-hmm. So, but we are moving ahead, and I guess as we go along, more and more people realize that these ordinances, they're on the website, and they're valid, and now we're going to go ahead and pursue them. But other than that, everything else seems to be moving along. The Dexheimer Farm, the physical appraisals have been done with the county. We don't have the numbers yet. When they have the numbers, then the negotiation will take place. But we're still, the owner is cooperative and still interested in selling. So we're on track. And I think that will eventually end up in the county's hands. Just a matter of negotiating on the price. But he's psychologically ready to go. And he's been very cooperative. So I think we're going to deal with it. Then we're going to address that other house on Pine. As we promised, we were doing two phases. Once we get that farm squared away, then the house gets squared away. So we're on track for that. So I think that's where we are. And some other discussions, some other concerns that people have brought to me, we've been addressing.
Thanks. So,
thank you.
And Sharon, your answer was no. Okay. We now go to public comment. I would ask that each person who wants to comment come up to the microphone after you're called, state your name, your address. Makes it much easier for the people who are listening to the tapes to try to figure out who's talking. Is there anybody from the public who would like something? Who would like to say something or have any questions? Ms. Parrott?
Hi. Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I have a question about the this Borough of Roosevelt Area in Need of Development report, and it has, I guess the question, it has inspection reports attached to it. My question is, are there any other code violations other than the ones attached to this that we've received?
I don't believe that any of us have reviewed that. That's a matter for the planning board. But they will be meeting the first Tuesday of next month, and I think they're calling a special meeting.
No, I don't think so. Because that's Rosh Hashanah.
No, my question is the code violations, not the document. Is that, are there any other code violations? I could just give them to you. Are these the code? Are there additional ones beyond these that they were attached to it? That's the only question I have.
You're talking about 41010 and 011? I'm a little confused.
Well, that was what was attached to the report. He said those were the code violations.
There are three sets of code violations that we are currently negotiating or discussing with PIOSH. There is also, please, there is also, if you could. There is also an inspection by the health group. We have asked PIOSH to produce that as soon as possible. They advised us yesterday that we shouldn't hold our breath and we need to continue with our first set of responses. So we are still waiting on another report. So PIOSH does two inspections. They do the safety inspection. Then the Department of Health does an inspection for PIOSH. That's the one we haven't received yet. So the answer is don't know.
But so far, is this the only one we've received?
There have been various conversations with the with PIOSH and with the engineers.
But, okay, could you, I guess maybe I'll just be easier. Is it possible to put any code violations on the borough's website as they come in so the public can be aware of what we're facing?
We post all communications on the bulletin board. Those documents specifically tell us where to post them. They are posted here. They're also posted in the firehouse. I believe they're also posted in the first aid building.
Is there a prohibition that they're not allowed to go on the borough website?
There is no prohibition.
Okay, so
we don't
would
post
you put them
everything.
On? I guess I'll ask again. Would you put them on so we could have them easily? I thought that's what the borough website was for, but I guess you don't want to put them on is what you're saying?
No. The question you asked was, are there additional violations?
That was the first question. Now I'm asking, could you put all violations on the website so the public could see them
Without having to walk up here.
I don't
It's a yes or very easy. You could either you
I'm not in a courtroom. The answer is not yes or no. I will have a discussion and see if we can put it up. It takes time to scan them and put them up. We don't get them as a PDF.
I have a scanner. This would take me all of like 30 seconds to scan.
Congratulations.
So.
Is there anything else?
So the answer is you're going to discuss it?
We will see if we can put it up in a timely fashion. Yes, we will put it up. I don't want to get a call tomorrow morning that says, oh, I checked. You went home and you looked at the debate and you didn't get it up by 7 o'clock in the morning. So we will get it up in a reasonable period of time. It is posted where required by law. Yes, we'll put it up
we'll
on the website.
Okay, that's all my... Okay.
But I'm not agreeing to put every document up on the website. We get lots of documents coming through.
No, the code violations, that's all. Well, thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, Sharon.
Sharon Walsh, 23 North Valley Drive. So in discussing the potential bike path on North
yes.
Valley Drive where I live, I just wanted to bring to the council's attention, this is a very different street than Rochdale. There's parking. People park on both sides of the road. I certainly wouldn't want to see trees taken out or having the roadway widened to shorten everyone's front yard in order to accommodate a bike path.
Now, what we're talking about is signage and painting. That's all we were talking about.
Okay, so that would be
we're
a problem for the cars that park there, though, because people park on the street as well as in their driveways, which is different than on Rochdale.
To which street?
On North Valley. We're talking about if you were to come down Oscar
mm-hmm.
and then make that right onto North Valley,
right.
All of our neighbors have cars on the street as well as in their driveway.
Okay.
So that would be an issue if you were on a bicycle trying to ride on that bike path.
Yeah, unless we simply direct them down that road, right?
Yeah, it makes more sense, actually. Because, you know, the striping is necessary when you have a lot of traffic that you have to keep the bicycle. Except that's clearly not the case here.
Right.
And that's why it was not made no sense on Rochdale Avenue. It's not the case on Rochdale Avenue either.
What
so
is
if you want to direct traffic, that makes sense.
I'm sorry,
yes.
What's not the case on Rochdale?
That you need that bicycles can't get through in an orderly manner because there's so much traffic blocking. And they would come into contact with cars and there's so much traffic blocking. There's not that much traffic on Rochdale Avenue.
No, the issue was that people come, particularly from Hightstown, right? They come over that bump that we're trying to get the county to
right.
to even out.
Right.
So what we're talking about is where Rochdale crosses Pine and Homestead, there's that weird little bump.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We've asked the county as part of its construction to smooth that out a little bit.
Oh,
the problem was that as people come into town and they come up that curve, they can't see, what's directly on top of it, and you have a lot of bikers coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear was that people coming through at 70 miles an hour would wipe somebody out. It wasn't a question of them being able to fit. And I don't think it was ever really contemplated. I did say painting, but I don't think that was ever really contemplated. We were just talking about signs because it's much safer to go down Oscar and then up through the through North Valley and out Spruce than it is to go down 571.
So then you would be encouraging bicyclists to actually use the middle of the road because they would be swerving in and out of the parked cars, and that's not a safe manner either.
Well, it's Roosevelt. Every time I drive around here, there are people walking down the middle of the road.
But we're from Roosevelt. These people are not. So it's an added, I'm just saying, it's different than Rochdale
I don't think
Avenue.
Bicyclists are a constitutionally protected class, so we may be able to exclude them. But we are a little concerned about the safety of the large groups of them coming through. But I get your point, and we're a long way away from getting a grant for that, so there will certainly be further discussion. You're not going to wake up one morning and find out that we've put a bike path in there. Anybody else from the public? Sir?
How you doing? My name is Jack Boker, 17 South Rochdale. I submitted the letter to you and the council.
Yes, and I pass that on to our administration committee.
Is there a way I can have a meeting with you people to discuss this problem?
Well, first I would like administration to take a look at it and say how they'd like to proceed. It's up to you guys. Since it's a personnel matter, I'd rather that you met with them. And the committee, by the way, is
I would like to do
Councilman
privately.
And
I would like to do it privately. Is that possible?
Yeah. Can you set something up?
Sure. Stacy?
Yep.
Okay.
Perhaps after the end of the meeting, just come up and pick a time and place.
Yeah, I brought my calendar. It's pretty, but we'll figure it out.
Anybody else from the public? There being?
Just a simple thing. Some time ago, Jeb Schoen, 18 Tomorrow Drive. Some time ago, I had asked that when the council members make their reports that they identify their committees, and I still make that request.
Okay.
And sorry. I also, I'm not sure what Mr. McGrath's position is.
Mr. McGrath is our zoning officer.
I see.
He's also the planning board secretary.
I see. So I just think when people with some kind of, you know, official capacity say something.
Good point. Let me, could we, let's amend the agenda.
Okay.
So we just list the committees.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll put each person's name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that way I don't suddenly look at Michael and go, Mr. Tickton of the, Okay. There being no public comment, you have a need for a closed session.
None that I know of.
Okay. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I have one more quick thing.
Yes.
I'm sorry. On behalf of the Environmental Commission, the Invasive Species Committee did some more work on the Pocket Butterfly Park. They were spreading mulch this past weekend, so we're one step closer. Second on the motion to adjourn.
Okay.
One other thing. Also, the legislation that we're looking for that would eventually allow Roosevelt to get to be able to apply for demolition loans. Now, in the Senator Thompson did introduce it to some both houses, and Senator Cruz Perez has agreed to co-sponsor it, so we'll have a Democratic co-sponsor.
All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Do we want to withdraw the motion for adjournment?
I just didn't hear demolition of what?
Oh, that we would qualify. The legislation would allow Roosevelt to qualify for what's called the Rural Aid Program, which itself is not funded. But if you're in the Rural Aid or the Urban Aid Program, you can make an application if you have buildings that you want to get zero interest loans for to do demolitions. You can get money. The money you can apply for it. You cannot guarantee it, but you can apply for it at any rate. And Roosevelt now is not eligible, but the legislation says that any borough council had sent to our legislators says that any municipality that is a historic district in its entirety is exempt from the requirements having to do with density, which is population and density, which are the two things that we don't qualify under. We qualify under the income and rateables characteristics, not the population density. So if that passed, that would allow us to at least apply for those loans at some point.
To demolish what? Firehouse?
Whatever came up that we need to be eligible. We could submit an application, gas station, that building, whatever. Whatever we had to demolish. If we ever want to demolish anything, it would be up to us.
Well, okay. Neither of those is protected. I thought you were talking about the houses.
What house? No, nothing to do with
Well, we demolished one house.
No, nothing to do with anything protected. No, this is the borough had property that it wanted to get the loan that needed to be demolished for code enforcement reasons, that it could get the, you know, that it could qualify for the state no interest loans.
Yeah.
It has to be one of those programs to do it.
So we have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting is called at 7:55.